This week, we are continuing our series in Colossians. We hope this message blesses you.
I truly believe that this is the end of the Colossians series. But I could be wrong. It's happened once, I think. Colossians has been so beneficial. It's like the more that you read it, the more you go, Lord, your word is so true. It is so good. You know, last week we talked in Colossians chapter 4, and we talked about how we use our words. And I encouraged you to, I gave an illustration of a crane that will put rocks in its mouth so it doesn't cackle, so that the eagle, its prey, doesn't eat it. And I encourage you to, hey, just carry a stone in your pocket and just remember, you know, like when anybody do that, I felt tempted. So I had to pick out a smaller rock because I was about to throw my stone at the person that I was frustrated with. So I've got a much smaller stone now to carry around, so I'm not tempted to do any damage with them. But you know, one of the things that we say around here is that we exist to display and declare the glory of God. Like we want our lives to be a reflection of his goodness, of his grace, of his mercy, of his kindness. Everything that we do as Christ followers should be a direct reflection of him. When they see us, they should see Jesus. And that's a tough calling, isn't it? To say that every word that I say is going to be a reflection of him. Every action that I do is going to be a reflection of him to the lost, the hurt, and the broken world out there. But it's the high calling that we've been given. And so we say we exist to display and declare the glory of God. Today we're going to be in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Just one simple verse. And I think sometimes we think that idea that we exist to display and declare the glory of God, that or that when we are, you know, we confess and we believe and we've been baptized and, you know, we get our own Bible and we start journaling in it, like, man, there we are. We're it. We think that it's just going to be automatic, you know, because, hey, there we are. I confessed. I believed. I go to church. That it's just going to happen. And honestly, I don't know if you notice, it doesn't, you know, like it's hard. This Christian life, even though what we're going to be talking about today is simple, it's extremely difficult to walk out because our flesh still wants to rule and reign over us. And so today, as we talk about prayer, what we're going to begin to say is that prayer is about submitting ourselves to him. And I think for so long that we've thought of prayer, and one time I said it this way, that prayer is medicine for the sick, but honestly, prayer is to be a vitamin that's taken daily before we get to the point where we're sick, where we are like, Lord, I've done everything else, I guess now I'll pray. You know, that's how we view prayer. Or sometimes we think of prayer as like this wish list of like, hey, I just need all of these things, like, here we go, Lord, here's my list, and I need this, 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 this. And then like we just say all of these things, and then we're like, man, some of those happen and some of them don't. And so then we get this bad taste in our mouth about prayer. But I really want to be able to encourage you today that prayer is more than just asking God to do something or to give us something. Prayer is about communing with the Father, about spending time with him so that he can shape us and transform us. And so prayer is the primary way that we spend time with him through communion with him. And so we're going to be in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It should be up on there. Actually, I think I put like 2 through 6 just so that we can get a little bit of context. It says, starting in verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time, Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. What you'll see a lot of times in Paul's writings and his letters to the churches is the first half of it will all be like theological and doctrinal. So like if you're in Colossians, if you just, you know, you can just kind of scan Colossians chapter 1. He goes through there like, hey, we're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He talked that we've been rescued from the domain of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of the Son. He talks about who Jesus is and like that Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Then he goes all through there, right? So be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deceit. That's in chapter 2. He goes through all of this. And then in chapter 3, like the break point, halfway point of his letter to the Colossians, he says, so then, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above. Right? Verse 5 of chapter 3, therefore, put to death all of these things. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, bear with one another, forgive one another, right? Give thanks and all these things. And so he goes through. And so the first half of his letters are always theological. They're doctrinal. They're laying the foundation. And he says, hey, look at all of these things. Here's what I want you to know about Jesus Christ. And then he'll go in there and you'll always see these transition statements. He'll say, so, now do this. Therefore, do this. And so we're in this part of chapter 4, and we talked about it last week about, you know, let your speech be seasoned, always be gracious, seasoned with salt. That's not theological, that's not doctrinal, that's like practical here. And verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert in it with thanksgiving. And so we're in the practical point of Paul's letter, that he's laid out all of these things, and now he says, okay, now church, here's what I want you to do. I want you to devote yourselves to prayer, always with thanksgiving. You see, prayer, I think for us, has become somewhat unnecessary, somewhat last resort as Christ followers. We use it only when we need it. The truth is that prayer is one of the primary ways that we commune with the Father, where we get to just get alone and get with him. And so what we've taken is we've taken what was essential and we've made it optional. We've said, like when you look at Jesus, when you look at the early church, they prayed. Right? Even in like Acts chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit came on them, it's not a coincidence that what? They were in the upper room chit-chatting. No, they were in the upper room, they were praying. And Jesus, which this gets so overlooked sometimes, they're praying in another spot, where Jesus, like, they're praying when he reveals himself to them, like, and he just, like, walks through a locked door. Like what if we prayed in such a way that we expected that Jesus is going to show up no matter what, no matter how many locked doors we put up around us, that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus can just walk through there. But when you look at the early church in Acts, chapter 2, 42. It says that they met in homes daily, that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. They were devoted to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Four things that the early church was devoted to. Above all the things, above kids' ministries, above, you know, planting flowers, which they look beautiful. Rachel and Derek, thanks for doing that, right? But above planting flowers and cleaning the kitchen and serving in the kids' ministry, above all of the things, the early church was devoted to prayer. It was essential, and we've taken what's essential, what was part of Jesus's walk, and said, well, if it gets real bad, then I guess I'll have to pray. When I've tried every other avenue, then I guess it's on me. Oh, I guess I'll pray. This idea that these words, devote yourselves to prayer, there's an incredible weight that comes with those. It challenges us to be, that our prayer life should be persistent, that we should be spiritually alert, and that we should overflow with thanksgiving. That we should be so full of thanksgiving that it flows out of us into every situation. How many people are there right now? Like, just, yeah. Now, Texas lost last night to Georgia. Man, it's hard to just overflow with thankfulness, right? It's okay. We get them in the championship game. We're good. Kind of slowed the flow of gratitude there, but we're good. When you look at Paul's first command here, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. That word devote means to be persistent, to be steadfast, to continue steadfastly in something. It implies a deep, ongoing commitment, a lifestyle, not just a sporadic action. To be devoted to prayer means I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be committed. The Amplified Version, which I normally read out of the Christian Standard Bible, but the Amplified Version has it up here. I love how it says it in here. It always adds 19 more words per verse, but it's really good sometimes. It says, be earnest, unwearied, and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent on your praying with thanksgiving. Be earnest, unwearied, and steadfast. Prayer has got to be essential in our lives. We have to be devoted to prayer. I think, and it says it in some other places, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, it says, pray, give thanks in all circumstances, pray continually. What's the first one? Be joyful always, pray continually, and all things in all circumstances, give thanks. I'm still missing that first one. Someone's going to fact check me on it. My wife is, I can tell. But it's this idea to pray continually that almost seems overwhelming to us, to be devoted to prayer. Seems so overwhelming to us. Like, how can we do this? Does this mean that like I just have to walk around and just be praying at all times? No, it means to be devoted to Him. Like, me and my wife are devoted to one another through our covenant of marriage, but we don't spend every second of every day together. That would really test the vows of that covenant, right? But what it does is it gives us a mindset that whether I'm with her or not, I'm devoted to her. So my devotion to my wife shapes my thoughts and my beliefs and my attitudes. It shapes my choices. To be devoted to prayer means that I'm now going to be conscious of Him at all times. Like, I don't get to do what I want to do all of the time because I'm married. And so I have to lay down those things so that we can come together in unity. It's the same thing with our prayer life. To be devoted to prayer means to be steadfast, to be persistent, to be earnest in it. It's this idea that you can be a Christian and your prayer life cannot be where you want it to be. That doesn't mean you're not saved. But if you are a Christ follower that is not praying, then you are out there living a life of defeat and of compromise, of shame and guilt, because you're trying to do it on your own and you can't. And so you only pray when you have to repent, and then you just walk right back away because He's made everything right and you feel good about yourself, and then you have to come back again. You know, what happens is that prayer is like, it's where we get to just take a moment and we get to breathe in the breath of God. Where the breath of God produces life. When we pray, then we allow the Holy Spirit to breathe onto us, to breathe into us. I mean, you look at the story of creation, that Adam was created out of the dirt. He was formed, but yet he was lifeless until the breath of God breathed into him. The valley of dry bones, as it's called in Ezekiel, right? The bones, which is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, I want to just see how this all came together. You have the bones just scattered across the valley, and they begin to connect, which is insane. And then they start to get tissues and joints and all of the medical terms that I don't know, right? And they look like people. But there's no life in them. And then it says that wind begins to come and they get life. Prayer is that opportunity where we come to Him before we get to that point, but where we come to Him and we say, Father, I just need your life today. Breathe into me because I'm about to walk out of this house and it's going to be life. And I'm going to need you. If I'm going to display and declare the glory of God today, I need His life flowing in me and through me. But what happens is we've gotten this idea of like it's just a genie in the bottle. Like we just ask Him for things. But I want to encourage you today that we will begin to see prayer not as optional, but as essential, not as a wish list, not as God is our genie, but that God is our Father who desires to commune with us, that wants to spend time with us. And our goal is to spend time with Him. And prayer is how that happens. The word in John 15, we've been through this a lot, but John 15, it's the vine and the branches. And it says, stay connected to the vine and you will produce fruit. But apart from Him, we can produce nothing. Prayer is that ability to stay connected to the vine. You see, so many times we go out and try to do life on our own. We try to handle our own problems. We try to take care of our own business. And we go, hey, Lord, let me go take care of this. And we don't really say it like that. But when we don't pray before we go into it, then what are we saying? Hey, Lord, I already know what to do in this situation. Yes. I'll come to you if I really need to, you know, if I get in trouble. Prayer is that ability to stay connected to the vine. Prayer keeps us in communion with Him. And so what I want to hopefully encourage you in, that prayer is this amazing opportunity where we get to partner with the creator of the universe and we get to spend time with Him. It has to be constant, right? If that word, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. There has to be this constant, this continual communion with Him. Prayer is not something that we get to come in and out of whenever we want to. It's staying in that attitude of prayer. To be devoted to prayer means that we must be persistent. When you look, there's a story in Luke chapter 18 about, let me just read it. I don't think I put it up on there. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. You can turn there if you want. This is Jesus telling a parable. He said, now He told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up. There was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect people. And a widow in that town kept coming to him, saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so that she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming. Verse 6, then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to His elect who cry out to Him day and night? Will He delay helping them? I tell you that He will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? There is a persistence in prayer. It doesn't mean that we, that God is like, oh, just, hey, you say it 13 times and then I'm going to act on it. No, but there's a persistence in prayer where one, our hearts get shaped and then maybe it goes, oh, you know what? I actually don't need that anymore. I thought that was important, but I don't need that. Penny is 6 and, you know, you're not allowed to have favorite kids and we don't. Kiddos that are in here, we don't. But if we did, you know, if we did, but we don't. Man, she's fun. Penny, somehow she got it in her head that she wanted a white t-shirt. I don't know why. I didn't ask questions. And the wrong person to ask is me, not because I'll say no because you don't need it, just because I'm going to forget. All right, so. And she asked me and Lauren like a week and a half straight. And we both kept forgetting. We're busy. And I mean, finally one day, it was like last Thursday night, she goes, I came home from work. She goes, Dad, did you get my white shirt? I'm like, babe, I'm not going to think about it, you know? And then Lauren's like, fine, I'll put it on my list. I'll add it to the Walmart order tomorrow. And you know what? Penny got her shirt. Came home that night and it was already like brown because you've been rolling around in the mud. So, but there's a persistence in prayer that, one, it's not, we have to ask it so many times before God's going to grant it to us. But the more time we spend in prayer, the more time it allows him to shape us and transform us. It's about holding on to his promises, even when we don't see the immediate results. It's about building trust in the Father, that his timing is perfect. You know, if you pray for one thing one time and you're like, well, I guess he's not going to do it, whatever. God's not real. You know, we get frustrated. But the more you begin to pray, the more times you'll begin to pray for different things, even though it's for the same thing. You'll start praying more deeply for something on what you thought it was something. And then you're like, oh, hey, you know what? Let me just start praying for this. You know, I never had to. But sometimes if you have to pray for your spouse, to change, but I do pray for you, but not to have to change anything because you're perfect. But you pray, Lord, would you change this? 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 Eventually, when that doesn't happen, then you go, hey, Lord, would you teach me how to love my wife through this? Would you teach me how to see what I thought was a problem or what I thought was a fault is actually a blessing? And something that I need that's going to sharpen me, that's going to encourage me. And then when she speaks to you in a way, you're like, hey, thank you, babe. I really need to hear that. It hasn't happened yet, but we're praying. We're persistent in prayer. That for me, not for you. You've changed. It's me. But when you begin to pray more persistently, you get the heart of the Father. And what you thought was a weakness or a fault in someone else, you actually see that they're revealing a weakness and a fault in yourself. A way that you've been hurt in the past that they're speaking to. And you want them to just change when really the Lord's saying, I want to heal you from that. So that from this day forward, anybody that speaks to you to that wound, it's already healed. Sometimes the answer that we're looking for is not the answer that we get. It's what God does through us in our asking. Persistency in prayer, it's never a bad thing because that means more communion with the Father. It aligns our hearts with his will and it purifies our motives. The second thing that it says in here, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert. This word alert, it can also mean watchful. It can mean vigilant, ready for danger, alert, and awake. You see that our prayer, right? We're devoted to prayer, but it's not just a prayer that we're just like, all right, Lord, this and that, I need this, I need that. But it's an opportunity to stay alert and to be vigilant. You see that we live in a constant battle of spiritual warfare where the enemy has plans for us to tear us down, to destroy us, to destroy our relationships, to get us addicted to sin, to bring about death and separation from God. When we pray, and that word to be alert, it's not just a conversation with God, it's not just communion with God, but it's actually a place where it becomes our battleground against the enemy. You see, there are prayers that I pray here, but then there are prayers that I pray alone in my car that nobody else hears. Because prayer is not just about communing with him, but it's about battling against the dark forces that come against us. Ephesians 6:12 says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see that when we pray, we're engaging in spiritual warfare. Why is it important? Because when we pray, we become aware of the schemes of the enemy. For my kiddos, you know, we have eight, but for Evelyn. You know, Evelyn is, I mean, she's the cutest thing, but man, she is a, you know, she's it, and she's got it. You know, she's a handful. You'll see at lunch today if you stick around. She loves to push the issues. You know, and so when I pray for Evelyn, I say, Father, would you harness that tenacity for your kingdom? Because I can't do it. I'm going to need you to just harness that energy for her. I pray for Milo. Milo is this guy that just loves life. He's full of joy. So when I'm praying for my kiddos, I'm engaging in spiritual warfare with them because the enemy is always at work. He's always trying to cancel out what the Lord is doing. So Milo, he has a good time. So I just say, Father, would you know, as I pray for him, I'm praying that he would remain full of joy. For Penny, I pray for her purity and her innocence as one of my favorite kids. For Ollie, I pray. Ollie's a smart kid. And so I just pray over Ollie that the Lord would use his mind. The mind, the world can take a mind, someone that's smart, and get them to doubt God because it doesn't make sense. You know, faith is contrary to logic and to science. And so I pray over Ollie that the Lord would use his mind and purify it. I pray over Hattie. There's Hattie over there, that Hattie would walk in the confidence of a daughter, that she would listen during church. I pray for Ben. Ben was named after the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin, if you don't know, one of the original 12 tribes of Israel, they conquered the most land. They slaughtered the most armies. And so I pray over Ben that Ben would be strong and courageous and join the army or be a pilot to fly me places. Ben has his girlfriend here today, Issa. We've been praying for her and that she would just see herself as loved by the Father. You know, we pray over, what's the next kid after Hattie? We pray for Max, or after Ben, we pray for Max. As I'm in my car, I'm just praying for my kids because it's warfare. Because if I'm not, then who is? If you're not, then who is? If I'm not encountering and engaging in spiritual warfare. So for Max, I pray that he would fall in love with the Father, that he would stay planted by the vine. Pray for Noah. Noah's the original smart kid, and I just pray that he would walk in his gifts that the Lord has for him. And then we're blessed by Kendall. She's outside with Ella, or out in there, because Ella, granddaughter, is a little bit loud right now most times. But, you know, we pray for Kendall. One of the things I just continue to pray over her, that she would be free from all the things in her past, that she would walk in complete healing and freedom. I pray for Ella. You know, she is the most loved kid I think I've ever seen. And one thing that I pray over her is that she would be like that star that led the men to Jesus. Would she just shine so bright that people see her and follow her as she points people to Jesus? And so these are things that we just pray. But and so prayer is not just about like communion with the Father, where we just sit there and we're just like, okay, Lord, whatever you have, I'll listen. There is a time for that. It's not just going through your list of things to be praying for, but it's also your opportunity to engage in spiritual warfare. It says to stay alert, to be vigilant. Because if I'm not speaking life into my kids, into my wife, into my marriage, if I'm not speaking life into my family, the enemy is definitely speaking death into them. Prayer is so important. It's an opportunity for us to engage in spiritual warfare, to stay alert, to listen to the voice of the Father. I think the number one thing that people want to know when they're coming into a situation, it's like, I just want to know what the will of the Father is. I want to know that I'm in the will of God. And prayer is the opportunity where we get to just sit and go, Lord, I want to hear your voice today. Jacob was sharing this, our youth pastor over there, the good-looking guy up on the guitar up here. He was sharing with us today that one of the things that's important in prayer is that he was in his classroom. He's also a teacher and had a speaker that just kind of had a constant hum. And he had just gotten used to it. And a student came in and was like, "What's that noise?" And Jacob's like, "How? What are you talking about?" And so they finally tracked it down, and it was a speaker that just had like this constant hum. And what happens is that we kind of adjust, and there's a constant hum. There's things that we just adjust. We live with a certain level of sin. We live with a certain level of chaos, a certain level of busyness, a certain level of things that it's just normal to us now. And so prayer is so important, because then that's an opportunity when you get alone and the Father goes, "Hey, what's that hum?" And you're like, "I don't know. I haven't noticed that. What are you talking?" "Oh, you're right. That's right. I've adjusted to that." It's so important, because the prayer where we're staying alert, it opens us up to the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be sensitive to his promptings and we can respond in obedience. To stay spiritually awake and aware means that we can move in step with God's plans and his purposes. The main idea, I don't think I've said it quite a bit today like I normally do, but prayer isn't about trying to persuade God to do something or to give us something. Prayer is about submitting to God and allowing him to shape and to transform us. The last one that we're going to go through, it says, is with thanksgiving. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. You see, the idea of thanksgiving is crucial, because it shifts our focus from what we don't have to the ways that the Lord has blessed us. Thanksgiving, our gratitude, is important because it shifts our focus from our problems to God's provision, from our worries to his faithfulness. Thanksgiving and prayer is not just about saying thank you for what God has done, but it's also trusting him in what he's going to do. Being thankful is not just about the past, but like, "Lord, because you've done this, man, I know you're going to do it again. Because you did it for them, I know that it's now possible for me." When we come into prayer, it's about being thankful. The word in Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." We present our requests to God, but it's with a heart of gratitude, trusting that he's able to do it. The story of the 10 lepers, you remember that? They came to Jesus. He said, "Hey, I want you to go show yourself to the priest." And it says on their way, they were cleansed. And none of them were so happy to be returned back to society, to be able to be restored and be able to go back to the way things were. One turned around to give thanks. And I love Jesus, because he asked questions that I feel like I would ask. He probably has a more nicer way of saying it. But, you know, he's like, the one comes back and he says, "Were all 10 not cleansed?" He knows they were, you know, like, and the one's like, "Yeah, they were. Where are the other 9? You see that when we devote ourselves to prayer, when we stay alert in it with thanksgiving, prayer is so important because it's a recognition of our faith in him and his grace in our lives. When our prayer is filled with, "I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need, will you, will you, will you?" Instead of going, "Man, Lord, the way that you did that, I didn't know how that was going to happen, but you came through. Lord, thank you for what you've given me here." You see, because when our prayers are full of thankfulness, it reveals in our hearts that we're full of, and we recognize the grace that he has for us. When our prayers are dominated by "I want" and "I need," we are like spoiled and entitled brats that don't get what they want. Thankfulness is a way that we go, "Father, your grace is good. And I trust you that you're going to take care of this in whatever manner you see fit. And for that, I will be thankful." Prayer is so important to the life of a Christ follower. You know, we talked about it in Acts. We talked about it in the early church. But that the reason that is so important is because it transforms our hearts and our minds. that we take our thoughts, we take our feelings, and we pray, and the Lord goes, hey, let me transform that. Let me intervene in this situation, but let me also change the way you're seeing that. The word in Psalm 37:4, it says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I think the desires of our heart are refined through persistent prayer. Because the desires of our heart at first would be, you know, Texas to win, you know? Like, why not, Lord? Like, that's what the desire, right? Or I want this, I need this. That's the desire of my heart. But when it says take delight in him and he will give you the desires of his heart. Our desires are transformed into his desires. What we want becomes what he wants for us. We no longer are selfish, but our prayers become centered on his kingdom and on his will. Prayer will transform our lives, not just our desires, but it softens our hearts. It's hard to hold on to anger and bitterness, resentment, when you're praying constantly. If you're always praying, you're devoted to prayer, you're alert to the schemes of the enemy, you're attentive to the voice of the Father, you're full of thanksgiving, man, it's hard to be bitter, isn't it? It's hard to be angry in those situations. You see, because the Holy Spirit works through our prayers and he transforms us into his image. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Prayer is a place where we get to cancel out the lies of the enemy. We get to sit with the Father. We get to talk with the Father and say, man, God, I'm feeling this right now. Or this person said this about me. It's where the Father gets to transform our mind and cancel out the lies of the enemy. And we start to see things from his perspective instead of through the lens of fear and doubt. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your minds on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. You see, a life of prayer that's devoted, that's staying alert, that's full of thanksgiving, it keeps our minds focused on God's truth and allows us to reject the lies of the enemy. You see, the enemy will use discouragement, disappointment, and doubt to keep you from praying. Have you noticed that? When you're disappointed with the way things turned out, what's the last thing that you want to do? Pray. Because we think he's the one that didn't come through. We think that he failed us. It's easy to get distracted. Sorry. I'm gonna put some WD-40 on that. Have y'all ever just gone, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray. And you sit there, and then what happens? You start thinking about all the things you're supposed to do. You start thinking about all the plays that Quinn Ewers missed, all the throws, like, man, Lord. Your mind wanders because the enemy will use whatever he can. He'll distract you, right? You're driving, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm just going to pray. And you'll look up, and you're thinking about things that you're like, man, when I was 12, there was a go-kart. I wonder what happened to that. And it's like, where did that come from, you know? Because the enemy will do everything he can. And then what happens? You go, I just can't. Every time I try to pray, I get distracted. That's the enemy. The enemy will use distraction. The good news is the Lord's given you power over that. Those thoughts. It says take captive. Make it obedient to the will of Christ. You don't have to go, well, I'm just a distracted person. I guess I can't pray. But the Lord knows my heart, so we're okay. No. Persistent prayer. That means when you start praying, and if there's ever a distracted praying person, you want to take a guess who it might be? Me, right? Like I'm thinking, and you know what I've had to do, what I've had to train myself to do? Is I'll get distracted and I'll go down those rabbit trails. And I'll come back. And then I'll go and I'll come back. And I've noticed that first rabbit trail is long. And then it comes back. The second one's a little bit shorter, but still long. Because I'm ADD and I can talk, right? And I, man, that thinking out, I got it. But as we're persistent in it, those distractions become fewer and shorter. And I'll look up and I'll go, man, I'm already in Rome, Texas. Time to start work. The enemy will use disappointment and distraction and doubt to keep you from praying. So can I just, a few things. One, be consistent. Praying, you're never going to like go your first time and be like, okay, I get that. And then you're going to look up and 3-4 days later, you've prayed again. And that's the first time that you prayed since 3 or 4 days ago. Be consistent in your prayer. Even when it's uncomfortable, even when you don't know what to pray, stay consistent. Find a time that works for you and be consistent. And then throughout your day, it says be devoted to prayer. Doesn't mean that we have to be praying 24/7, that we're always face down, praying, on our knees, praying 24/7. No. But to be devoted to prayer means to be aware of it, that it shapes our thoughts and our attitudes. So before you go into a meeting, pray. Before you go into a store, pray. Before you go to work, pray. And they don't have to be 90-minute prayers. All you're doing is reorienting your mind and putting the focus back on Him and off of you. Acknowledging that, Father, I can't do this without You. Would You use my words today? Would You tell me the words to speak today so that I can be all that You've called me to be to this person? And so the encouragement is for it to be daily and continually. And it gets easier over time. Can I promise you that? Like it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be awkward at first. But the more time you spend with Him, the more comfortable you're going to be with Him. Quiet your heart. Don't be distracted. Don't rush. Don't try to pray while you're trying to do 19 other things. It's not going to work. Because all the other 19 other things are going to happen, and prayer is not. You've got to find a time where you can just quiet yourself and really spend some time in prayer. Vulnerable, be vulnerable. That's the hardest part. To have to tell the Father how you really feel, even though He already knows, right? He knows what's going on. But to be vulnerable, because the truth is that vulnerability is the pathway to intimacy. You can be best friends, quote unquote, with somebody, but if they don't know the deepest, darkest, you're not really friends. How many times do you see in the news where somebody does something really bad and they go, man, I never would have known they would have done that. I'm like, yeah, because you didn't really know them. You know, if you hear something about me, you're like, yeah, I we could see that. Yeah, yeah. It's only a matter of time. You know, but I think in order to be vulnerable, we have to be open with Him so that we can be intimate. To be able to say, hey, Lord, here's right where I am. Intimacy will not happen when you keep trying to hide things, when you keep holding on to things and going, okay, Lord, I need Your help with these three things, but this one here, just let me handle. I'll take care of it because I'll do it better and I'll do it faster than You will. The last one is to listen for His voice and to receive His love. You should come out of prayer, not in a beatdown. You should be encouraged in prayer. Listen for His voice. Receive His love. It's an opportunity where He gets to just speak into you. Prayer isn't about trying to persuade God to do something or to give us something. Prayer is about submitting to God and allowing Him to shape us and transform us. I'm going to end with this. Devotion to prayer keeps us connected to God throughout the day. Watchful prayer keeps us alert to the plans of the enemy and tuned into the voice of God. And thankful prayer deepens our faith and keeps our eyes on Him. I'm just going to pray for us. Father, we just thank You today for Your word. Your word is true. Thank You for the book of Colossians. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Paul, for his words. inspired by you. Father, may we be a people that are devoted to prayer, where we are alert and full of thanksgiving in it. Father, would we desire prayer? Would we desire to be with you above all things? In Jesus' name, amen.